Ben Dobbin.
I'm exclusively a free baller.
What can we say?
I'm sorry?
He wheels and he deals. For great deals on wheels, see the team at Southside Auto Auction Springwood. For wholesale cars direct to the public. SouthsideAutoAuctions.com.au.
It's Luke Dobbo, Margot Parker on the catch up this afternoon. We will find out where we are with regards to our blind date. Margot, you initiated this bad boy. You're trying to set the Gold Coast up so that, you know, you can find a little bit of love in our fair city.
Yeah, most certainly. And we've got some men and women of the Gold Coast that we're going to be sending on a fantastic evening out to see if they can potentially find love.
And Luke, if you had kids and they're a bit overweight and your school weighed them, put them on the scales like a cattle crush and weighed them, would you be happy? We go to the phones today on whether or not it's a school's responsibility to start weighing kids. They're not cattle.
And also, Dobbo's been having trouble sleeping. Not during the show. He has no trouble sleeping through the show. He does fantastically well in that department. But early in the morning, he's waking. He can't get back to sleep. And it's a drama that I know a lot of our listeners have to deal with on a daily basis. So we get it stuck into that. A very controversial topic. I mean, very serious show today. It seems like we didn't morph into the ABC today, did we?
We got our smarts on.
No ABC.
Okay. That's not the ABC.
Talk back radio.
It is, in fact, the Rush Hour, and you're listening to The Catch Up, and it's starting for you right now.
I saw an article today that sparked my interest in and around whether schools should weigh kids. Now, this is...
What do you mean?
Well, it's a bit of a proposal that's been on the Australian agenda for some months now. There was something that came out in the media back in July, and it seems to be raising its head again. And it's in and around whether or not kids should be weighed every year at school due to the increase in obesity levels in young Australians. We're now starting to surpass places like England and America in regards to our obesity statistics are really high when it comes to young children. So what they're suggesting is not only that it be the parents' responsibility to be accountable for their children's health and weight, but now it should be the responsibility of schooling.
I thought that sort of already done that. You know, that like if you ever go to your kid's tuck shop now, like back in the day, mate, it was cream buns and a packet of chips. And now it's like you go there, you got carrot sticks and things like this. And you're like, it used to be a good thing, Dobbo, back when we were going to school to get tuck shop, remember? Sure. You get tuck shop these days as a punishment.
You get shamed.
Yeah. So, they're trying to implement healthier options, you know, in tuck shops and lunches and lunchbox duty and that sort of thing.
Yeah, but I don't think tuck shop's the issue.
No.
So what the statistics have come out is that our children, and because of a heap of
factors. It's mainly lifestyle. Kids aren't giving, you know, the way that we live our lives these days is leading towards a less active lifestyle.
So what's their solution? What are they trying to do?
So what they're saying is that it would be completely private so that there would be no shaming of or comparisons on any level for the kids. It wouldn't be conducted by the teachers, but a professional clinician would come in every year and measure the children in height for weight. So it'd be like a BMI indicator, I guess, body mass index, which we all know can be a little bit rubbish.
A lot of rubbish.
But I think it's just monitoring children in their progressive years.
But then what happens if you're over? Like, would you go do laps or something?
Yeah, maybe they would put some implementations in, you know, learning or doing more HPE or sports-based activities in class or, you know, in the school.
But
school grounds.
This is the problem I have with it. And I get this has raised its head, but your parents for a reason and you go to the doctors, and that's why you go to the doctors. It's not the school's place.
Not always,
it's
though,
not the government. Yeah, but in general, Margot, it's not in any way the school's. What right does a school have to say that your son...
Yeah.
Look, I can tell you now.
I sit on the fence.
I can make an argument.
Because I think that parents are time poor. Kids are at school from 9 till 3, let's say, on average, 6 hours a day. If you're a working parent, you're seeing your kid for 2 to 3 hours a day, 1.5 to 2 hours of a morning and 1.5 to 2 hours at night.
You've got weekends, though, Margaret.
You know, and there's weekends, of course. But majority of the children's time is spent within the school grounds, yes?
Yeah, I don't believe, though, that
But parents are time poor, and I think just uneducated as well. You know, a lot of people I hear, I've had this conversation.
That's very general.
It is, of course, it's very general. But people are working, they're time poor, kids are doing after school activities, you know, people are working longer hours, you know, the costs of living is much higher. So financially, people don't have options. And I hear people say, oh, you know, it's so expensive to buy healthy food. But if you do a $30 or $40 fruit and veg shop every week, that feeds your family for the week. And as opposed to going Macca's and spending $30 or $40 to feed your family there.
Well, let's open the phone and see what people have to say about it. I hear what you're saying, Dobbo, that it's the parents' responsibility. But if you're going to make the argument that kids go to school to learn, which they do, then what's wrong with having them learn about fitness and health and being healthy?
Yeah, you know? I'm all for that. But weighing a kid and then going, oh, your BMI, you're too...
a discussion they would have with the child. Yeah, it's a discussion they would have with the parents.
I don't think that's the school's responsibility.
Let's chuck it over to our listeners and see what you have to say. Give us a call. Love to hear your thoughts on it. And you know what we've got? How cool is this? So you can share the joy of an instant win with an instant scratch it. We've got some to give away. If you want to call through, let us know your opinion on this, whether you think it's right or a total load of BS, as Dobbo does. We'd love to hear your thoughts, and we'll take your calls coming up next. It is the Rush Hour with Luke Dobbo and Margot Parker. Peter Fitzsimons joining us before 4 o'clock this afternoon to remind us why we need to become a republic. I reckon he'll be going off his chops. I'm looking forward to talking to him. But right now, Margot, talking about something that you're pretty fired up about.
Oh, just, look, should schools be responsible for weighing kids? Obesity seems to be a bit of an issue. Australia seems to be leading the charge. Our kids are overweight. And yes, it most certainly is the parents' responsibility. Plenty of you are ringing in to let us know that you think it shouldn't be a part of the school's responsibility. But school is there to educate, and should we not be also educating them about health, about exercise, about looking after your bodies, about what you put in your mouth, you know, those sorts of things. We've become a country where our lifestyles are nowhere near as active as they used to be. Dobbo, you were saying
unfortunately,
that they pulled...
Unfortunately for state schools, and this is not private schools, but state schools, unfortunately, are that worried about getting a legal case against the schools and the government if there was an injury to occur during PE. They've banned football. When we were growing up as kids, every lunchtime you played bull rush, you played footy, you played cricket, you did all this. That's all gone from the state schools. A lot of them are concrete jungles now. They haven't got the ovals they used to have. They haven't got the resources. They haven't got the PE teachers there. PE was a subject.
Hang on, Dubbo. You're allowed to play footy on the PlayStation. Still allowed to do that, mate.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying, Luke? They've changed it all completely. And we asked for your calls about it because, you know, like, it was just absolutely has been a really interesting thing. My son didn't do any sport the last 2 years at Peak Crossing State School because they wouldn't allow them to do it. They didn't have PE or anything like that. So when it get to, of course they're going to put on weight.
Yeah,
they sit around
and kids are spending so much time at school. I definitely think there should be a collaboration. Tamara from Moolumbah, you called in. What did you have to say about this?
I was just saying that I think the BMI things, if they're going to go that way, they better go the other way as well and look at these kids that aren't getting fed enough. I mean, if so many... I work in a school and there's numerous schools serve breakfast for kids in the morning in primary school.
100%.
And tomorrow... kids not getting food.
Schools have implemented that, you know. We're seeing that in schools where they're doing, you know, breakfast for kids that don't get fed. You know, is that the school's responsibility? Probably not, but it's something that we're doing because we're seeing that children are suffering, you know. Then we need to look at it retrospectively and say, well, kids are suffering at the other end. And if parents were being responsible for their children's health, would we see such a rise in obesity?
Overweight. And my 17-year-old, when she was in her younger years, she was a little bit overweight. I was overweight in my younger years. Mm. We all had very healthy diets, ate, just enjoyed our food too much.
Yeah.
But all were active, etc. About 13, all of us lost our weight when we grew.
Bit of puppy fat, they used to call it, didn't
that's
they?
That's the thing.
Grew
it's
into
like,
it.
What age are they going to look at it? Mm. Is it viable at an early age? Because that's...
There
sort of hereditary thing does come into it where, you know, a lot of people do go that way. All three of us have gone exactly the same way.
Good stuff.
Where we've been, you know, just over the average, a bit over, but not too much. But when you hit that height thing, that's when you lose it.
Hey, Sarah, what did you want to say about this?
Hey, I don't think the onus should be on the school to do it. They're your kids. You look after them.
Yeah, but Sarah, don't you think if it were the parents' responsibility, that there, why is there such an increase in obesity? Like, we've left it up to the responsibility of parents, we're still seeing these results happening. So is it time for someone else to step in?
We live in a lazy, lazy world where it's so much easier to just give our kids our phones, their iPads. A school isn't allowed to tell a parent that their child has head lice and that they need to be treated. How can I be expected to enforce a child's weight issues when it's not from the teachers? They've got enough to do. They're teaching our children. Mm. Own your kids, own your responsibility and do your job. Mm. It doesn't take much to take them to the doctor if you're worried about their weight. There's how many food education programs are there out there? And if the government really wants to do something about it, invest the money in more free outdoor recreational activities that people can take their kids to and say, all right, let's go out to the park for the day let's just smash out a run around the park.
It's all good in theory, isn't it, Sarah?
It is, but it comes down to individual people and individual responsibility.
Hey, good on you, Sarah. Hang on there. We're going to fling you an instant scratch it. You can share the joy with an instant scratch it. You're a caller of the day. Well done to you. Well, obviously, the Royals arrived. Don't know if you heard. Don't know if you've turned on morning TV. If you had turned on morning TV, you would have known not only have they arrived, but Meghan is up the duff. And fair dinkum, you would have thought that she cured cancer the way they were carrying on about it this morning. Oh, mate, you should have heard one of the reporters on the morning TV programs this morning. She was like, not only is she pregnant, but she also completed a 20-hour flight while she was pregnant. And I'm like, didn't Serena win the Australian Open while she was pregnant?
Yeah.
This chick sat in first class for 20 hours. And you know what I thought? Everyone's all high and mighty on the Royals at the moment. And fair enough, it's their moment and all that sort of stuff. But I thought what we need is a pep talk. Our mate Fitzy is the head of the Australian Republican movement, which we are right behind. And I thought that, given that no one's talking about the Republic now because it's all about the Royals, we need a pep talk so that everyone remembers why it's important we have an Australian as our head of state. Peter Fitzsimons, our man in charge, joins us right now. Fitzy, welcome to the show, mate. How are you?
Put me in, coach. Put me in. I'm ready.
No, you're coming off the bench right now, Fitzy. I do think that Southeast Queensland needs a pep talk because it's sickening some of the people the way they're carrying on about the royal couple.
But look, a lot of people just love that stuff. But yeah. You can't confuse the adoration for all that stuff, princes and princesses and all of that stuff, and babies and palaces and living happily ever after. You can't confuse that with actual passion for the monarchy, that Australia remain a monarchy. One of the points, there was a brilliant piece written about this in the Herald today. Matter of fact, I wrote it. the theme of it was that all of this enthusiasm, I mean, Oprah got a bigger crowd, a much bigger crowd at the Opera House than Harry and Meghan did. I mean, they're international rock stars and good luck to them. I've just farewelled a CBS crew that's just been here interviewing me, and they just couldn't believe how quiet the crowd was down at the Opera House. They said if they were in New York, the people would have been going ballistic. And so enthusiasm for the royal family's answer to rock stars is not to be mistaken for enthusiasm that we're not a proud independent people who can't run our own show. And the point that I make is that for all those who love the whole royal family thing, the wonderful news is that all goes on long after we become a republic, which will hopefully be 2 or 3 years. That child that will be born to Meghan and Harry, Prince Harry and the Duchess of Sussex, 20 years' time, that child will go out with another person. It'll be front page of the Women's Weekly, and there'll be a big man in a red bandana at the front of the queue in the newsagent, like getting it, and it'll be me.
Fitzy, if we became a republic, how are we going to pick a president? We can't even pick a prime minister that we like.
Fitzy's okay, prime president. That's easy.
The system at the moment, as you know, so look, everybody's got different views, but there are two broad plans. One is the direct election where you have, you know, 6 or 7 candidates and like it works in Ireland and you pick the one you want. My preference personally, okay, is the minimalist model. At the moment, as you know, the way the system works at the moment is the democratically elected leader of the Australian people chooses a Governor General and then he writes to an unelected lady in England to see if it's okay with her. And the democratically elected leader of the Australian people is reduced to saying, is it all right with your unelected Englishness, what I, as the democratically elected leader of the Australian people, have decided to do. She writes back and says, beauty, go for your life. The system that I would propose is everything stays the same. We remain the Commonwealth of Australia. The Governor-General is still called the Governor-General, and the Prime Minister, he or she, makes the choice as to who the eminent Australian should be, and instead of asking an unelected lady in England, asks the Parliament of the people, a two-thirds majority. Okay, and so against this, people will say, I don't want politicians involved. You know, and hang on. Okay, serious countries, grown-up countries, run their own show. So the hallmark of a colony is that it has a political infrastructure that extends beyond its own shores. And that's us.
It's crazy, Fitzy.
On that note where we're at, Fitzy, what did you think of the royal wedding last Friday night?
Was there a royal wedding?
Do you think Meghan's having a boy or a girl, Fitzy?
Yeah, Fitzy be alive at this.
Well, I don't know, but I tell you what, I want to devour every detail. Australian kids can aspire to be anything they want. They can want to win the Oscar by the age of 18. They can cure cancer for the world by the age of 25. They can rid us. They can give us peace in the Middle East by the age of 30. They can rid us of Pauline Hanson by the age of 35. And they can be the most accomplished Australian that ever lived. However, under our constitution, one thing they cannot aspire to be. As young Australians, they can't aspire to be the Australian head of state of Australia. Why not? Because they're Australians. And that position is reserved for a family in England.
It's brilliant, Fitzy. It's a great point to leave it on, mate. We love your passion. We're behind you. Keep talking the good talk, fighting the good fight.
We should start bringing this to the table again because it just makes so much sense.
No, it does.
It
especially
makes
with
so
Fitzy.
Much sense.
Hey, good on you, Fitzy.
See ya. Thank you. Bye-bye.
See ya, mate. Thanks so much. See ya, brother. Yesterday on the show, Margo, you came up with the idea of launching a blind date for our listeners, and you need to bring us up to speed with where we're at with that at the moment.
Well, we spoke to Julia Morris from Blind Date, which she says was ripped off from Perfect Match, which was ripped off something else. So we thought we'd rip it off too. Yeah. And I thought I'd do something for the men and women of the Gold Coast. There's plenty of singles out there looking for love in all the right places and wrong places too. And we thought we'd give them a really great opportunity through our radio show here at Gold FM to set a really nice couple up and send them out on a blind date.
So where are we?
Yesterday we solicited for men and women to call through, and we had a slew of women ringing in saying that they're looking for love and there's no men on the Gold Coast. So we have three very, very beautifully sounded, because I haven't seen them. I just can hear in their voices.
Their voices sound amazing.
Their voices sound amazing, and they are looking for love. And I have got three amazing suitors for a potential male, Luke. All we need now is that male.
What's the age bracket for the male?
So we're looking between, say, 40 and 55 is the women.
Right. So he's got to be within that.
Well, he can be whatever age bracket he likes.
Mate.
He might be a young fella that likes an older lady, or he might be an older man that likes a younger woman, or someone who's in and around the age. We know that age is but a number.
Are there any stipulations, though, Luke, do you think?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's up to the ultimately.
Checkered history.
What's the go there, Margo? So what are the ages, you say, the women?
So we've got women varying between the ages of 40 to 55.
Well, I don't think we want an 18-year-old, do we? That's going to be a bit creepy.
No, of course not. That would be weird.
But look, if you're a dude and you're out there and you're looking for a girl, you could be you're the lead character on Perfect Match, if you like, because you're going to come in, you're going to ask one question to each of the three girls, and then depending on their answer, you get to pick. You'll choose which one you go out with. So if that sounds like you, if you want to be that bloke. 13, 27, 10. We're going to vet, right, Margo? Because we don't want
We want all of the men to call through, and I'm going to have a chat to you off air, and we're going to come up with one lovely gentleman who's going to be suitable for one of these three women, and he's going to get to have a chat with them tomorrow, and hopefully we can send them out on a nice date.
How's this sound for you, Dobbo? If you were back in your single days, I know you're off the market now, but this would have you written all over it, mate. You would love to come in there and, you'd grill all three girls, wouldn't you? I can imagine. You know.
Well, I let me just say this now. I would really,
You'd be like,
make sure that I'm front and centre. And I think that there'd be more than three. I think there'd be, you know, 300.
300 might
wanting a bit of the Dominator.
Well, look, the Dominator.
If this sounds like you, it's going to be a bit of fun. Great night's up for grabs too, by the way, for your blind date. 13 27 10 is our number here at Gold 92.5. And we will set you up with potentially Mrs. Wright for you.
I need some advice. 13 27 10. This is something that's really starting to get me down. I've become an insomniac?
Insomniac.
I am suffering serious insomnia now. I'll give everybody what my day looks like. And this has only been since I got back from the Calgary Stampede. But I get up at 4:30 every morning, and I go to a 5:15 exercise class. I'm back at 6. Then I go and start my day, whether or not I'm, and then I finish around 6 o'clock at night. Are you right?
Sorry.
I finish at 6 o'clock at night. And from there, I try and get into bed at 7 o'clock every night.
Hang on. You go to bed at 7 o'clock
last
at night?
Last night I was in bed at 7:30.
So early.
But the drama is that I'm waking
grandpa.
Up. I'm waking up at 1 a.m. every morning. And I cannot get back to sleep.
Because you've had 8 hours of sleep. You don't need anymore.
This morning, I got back to sleep at 3 o'clock, and then I woke up at 4:30 to go. I was that tired driving, I made the wrong turn off and ended up on the Cunningham Highway instead of going into Ipswich.
Yeah. You were that tired. Was that tired. He was supposed to go to F45. He ended up at McDonald's. Is that right?
But what I'm saying is, there's got to be a way. I've changed the sheets. I've got a diffuser with natural oils, lavender, relaxing. I could take a sleeping pill. But I just feel that once I get onto them, I become addicted to them. And you feel worse after you have a sleeping pill. There's got to be some remedies out there.
What are you eating for dinner? Maybe you need to eat more protein at dinner time.
I eat protein. I eat vegetables. I don't eat any carbs. I don't have coffee at night. I've stopped. I've tried literally all that kind of stuff.
You're going to bed too early, mate.
You're going to bed too early.
Well, your grandparents go to bed at 7 o'clock. No grown man goes to bed at 7 o'clock at night.
Mm. Last night it was 7:30.
Nothing.
I don't go to bed till about 10.
Yeah, but Margaret, you wake up at 7. I wake up at 4:30, right?
No,
and I go all day.
Go to bed at 9 o'clock and then wake up at 4:30. How about that? That's what I do.
I'm up to two kids every night. I've got two toddlers in and out of my bed every night.
Well, that's your problem.
I reckon you're going to bed too early.
Hey, well, let's just air all your problems and not mine.
Yeah. What do you want to know, Dolly? You're serious. I mean, there is nothing
serious.
Worse.
This is about my sleep. Remedies. I want some remedies. 13, 27. The best things, like there's got to be putting
melatonin.
Something under your pillow or something. There's got to be, you know, like I turn the fans on. I try and get freezing cold, so I've got warm.
What about this as an idea? I don't know if you can go old school. Remember the old tape decks where you used to be able to record radio? How about recording the Jobbers on Hot Tomato in the afternoon, Dobbo? Playing that back of a night time, mate. You'll be out like a light. I'm telling you. 5 seconds of it, mate.
I've got some serious remedies if you want some.
Yeah,
you
well,
break into that fake laughter, mate.
After this, 13, 27, 10, we'll get Margot's and anybody else that wants to give me remedies to make me sleep so I'm not at 1 o'clock. And about a million rats running around in my head. Can't sleep at the moment. I'm trying to get 8 hours, and I'm waking up at 1 a.m. Tried every possible way to try and sleep a bit longer, but the rats, they're running amok in my head. I'm looking for answers. Rochelle from Burleigh, what's your advice?
So my remedy is more to help you get back to sleep once you've woken up in the middle of the night.
Yep.
So what I use is like guided meditation on YouTube. So I put on a meditation clip or music or something like that, and I listen to that, and that relaxes me so fast, and I fall into the deepest sleep like instantly.
Yeah, right. So
there's certain apps too, isn't there?
Yeah, Headspace. There's one called Headspace. I tried meditation last night, literally, and this is how much of a lunatic I was. I was getting to 20, because my psychologist said long time ago, mate, just focus on one thought. I'm counting to 20, and then my mind would kick. I couldn't get past 20, and I'd start thinking of something else. I'm like, oh boy, I'm in some trouble. But you're right, Michelle. I've got to start. Maybe meditating a little bit more.
Is that what happens for you, Dobbo? Your mind just races.
I start thinking about everything and the worst. Yep. Alan from Logan Lee, mate, what's your thoughts, my friend? Alan, you there?
You need to work out how much sleep your body naturally needs.
Yep.
It sounds like it's between 6 and 7 hours a night.
Yep, I think that's right.
You're saying he needs to go to bed a bit later, Alan?
Yeah, go to bed a little bit later. Look, I'm a truck driver. I drive at night. it took me 6 months to get my body, you know, working properly the way I wanted it to, going from day shift like you guys are doing, I guess, into that night stuff. It's all about, you know, work out how much, and then, you know, you'll find yourself not feeling so tired all the time. And you'll be fine for the rest of the day, and it won't become an issue.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's the thing. I've been looking, trying to get this 8 hours magical sleep, because KG could sleep 12 hours, mate, and literally I go to bed with her, and, mate, I'm serious. I'm just absolutely wide awake.
How come you don't have any trouble nodding off between 3 and 6 in the afternoon, Dobbo? But 3 and 6 in the morning, you've got all these dramas and stresses.
I know.
You've been asleep like a light since 3 o'clock this afternoon, and then all of a sudden you're
back doughy again. Hey, yeah. Ben from the Tweed, what's your thoughts, mate?
For you, Dobbo, if you can't have more rums and Valium you can't have, just remember the wonderful State of Origin victory for the mighty Blues.
That would send me to sleep, correct. Yeah. That would send me to sleep. Yeah, I agree with that. Rum always is a good one, but, you know, like, yeah.
Rums, you wake up with a headache.
Yeah, and it's a headache, and I don't want to be putting myself to sleep
just
on rum every
rum,
night.
Dobbo.
It's a natural sugar extract, Dobbo. What more could you want, mate? You wanted a natural remedy, you got one. Bundaberg rum.
Margo, what's your honest take on it?
Well, I definitely think that you're going to bed too early, but there's also a thing called melatonin, and that's what the body works off when you go to sleep. That's what shuts down the brain. So you can actually take melatonin supplements, because I have a toddler that hasn't slept. Magnesium helps with muscles relaxing, so that could be something as well to help wind you down. But then there's another product called GABA, G-A-B-A, and you can get it online. There's a website called iHerb, and you can order it through them. But that helps to unstimulate the brain before bed, and no tablet time. So no iPad, no iPod, no tablet time, an hour before bed.
Yeah, see, that's my drama.
Because that overstimulates
you. I'm reading before I go to sleep.
Yeah, you should be reading a book, not a tablet.
Right, anyway.
Hey,
all right.
Dobbo, this is all getting a bit hippie for my Leica, mate. This GABA, this G-A-B-A. Go the R-U-M, mate. Put it back to what Tony from Tweedhead said.
Ben Dobbin.
I'm exclusively a free baller.
What can we say?
I'm sorry?
He wheels and he deals. For great deals on wheels, see the team at Southside Auto Auction Springwood. For wholesale cars direct to the public. SouthsideAutoAuctions.com.au.